Oh, okay. This is a meeting of the title setting board pursuant to Article 40 of Title I, Colorado Revised Statutes. The date is January 2nd, 2008, and the time is 9:05 a.m. We're meeting in the Secretary of State's Aspen Room, 1700 Broadway, Denver, Colorado. The title of the board today consists of the following. My name is Bill Hobbs. I'm Deputy Secretary of State, I'm here on behalf of Secretary of State Mike Kaufman. To my left is Dan Domenico, Solicitor General, who's here on behalf of Attorney General John Southers, and to my right is Dan Carton, Deputy Director of the Office of Legislative Legal Services, who's the designee of the Director of the Office of Legislative Legal Services, Charlie Pike. To my far right is Maury Kneiser, Deputy Attorney General, who represents the title board, and to my far left is Ceci Gomez of the Secretary of State's office. Just a few preliminary items to cover. For anybody who wishes to testify, there is a sign-up sheet to testify on a table by the door, I think. The first item for each agenda item, and I only have one today, is for the board first to consider whether it has any questions about the measure, because the board is required to understand each measure. Second, the board will determine if it has jurisdiction to set a title, which necessarily includes determining if the measure complies with the single subject requirement. And then third, the board will if it determines that it has the jurisdiction to set a title, it will work off of a staff-prepared draft to set the titles. With that, I will turn to the first agenda item, the only agenda item, proposed initiative 2007-2008, number 53, and concerning limitations on public payroll deductions. And if we could first hear from proponents, Mr. Caldera, I think you're here. If you'd introduce yourself for the record, please.
I am. I'm John Caldera. I'm here representing myself, and I am the author and proponent of this proposed initiative.
Are there any questions of the proponents about the measure? One question I had was, I don't remember seeing whether anything directly about whether the measure applies to a home rule municipality. Do you happen to know?
Yes, it would.
It's intended to do so?
Yeah, it would be all subdivisions of the state.
Okay. Any other questions of the proponents? If not, then let's turn to the question of whether the measure complies with the single subject requirement. And I don't have anyone else signed up to testify, but if anyone, but I want to give an opportunity if any member of the public believes the measure does not comply with the single subject requirement, I'd like to hear from them, but I don't think there's anybody present on that subject. So I'll turn to discussion by the board. It seems to me this is probably a single subject, but any discussion by the board?
I agree with that, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, this is, as far as I can tell, a pretty straightforward single subject. So I don't have any problem. I don't think we need much discussion, frankly.
Is there a motion, Mr. Carton?
I move that the title board find that proposed initiative 2007-2008 number 53 contains a single subject and to move forward with setting a title for the measure.
I'll second that. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Then let's turn to the staff drafts, the staff draft of the titles. And Ms. Gomez is displaying the staff draft on the screens in the room as well. Mr. Caldera, have you had a chance to look at the staff draft? Do you have any comments?
I do, and yeah, I do have some comments on it. I have not put together my own title on this for a couple reasons. One, I know whatever I write, you guys would change around, and so there's no sense for it. But if I can explain a little bit of what I believe the purpose of this is, and I think the Legislative Council is a little off on this. It starts off by the staff draft saying this is a constitutional amendment prohibiting public payroll systems from taking deductions. That's not the major thrust of this. That's not the issue here. I think, and we spent some time in the first section of this proposed amendment to really explain what it is we're trying to do here. And if I can talk about the idea, it is really to have an ethical standard in public payrolls. And to try to visualize that, what we want to make sure is that government doesn't use the people's systems, including payroll systems, including accounting systems, including personnel, to funnel money or to give money to any organization, any special interest that then turns around and uses money to try to influence government. The idea here is not necessarily to prohibit this or prohibit that. It is to have a standard, an ethical standard, whereby the machinery of government is not used between two political players, whether that be the employees of any government and those special interests that they might belong to, whatever they are. It doesn't matter if it's a union or the ACLU or the NRA or even the Independence Institute. The idea that the government would be the conduit for money coming out of people's paychecks given to any special interest, and then that special interest turns right around and tries to affect government. That, we feel, is a conflict of interest. That is an unethical practice, and we want to make a standard of ethics. And the way by doing so is to allow these certain deductions and no others from all public employees' paychecks. So the idea of what to prohibit is the mechanism, but what this is missing is that this is an ethical standard to make sure that the systems of government and the time of government, the energy of government, is not used to benefit any particular political special interest. That's the point of this. And I think the staff draft misses that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems to me, and I appreciate that, although it seems to me that the actual operative language, legal language, is in Section 3, and that the staff draft is simply trying to follow that the purpose is achieved by a general prohibition with some exceptions. And it sounds like, although, you know, the principle and the motivations have to do with setting ethical standards, and I'm not disagreeing with any of the ideas that you're trying to achieve, it seems like those are more in terms of, you know, purposes or things that may not normally be things that we would put in the title.
Actually, let me disagree with that. And I pulled up, for instance, this has to do with ethical standards in public payroll systems. When I looked at Amendment 41 a couple years back, your language that you put on that was, this is the bylaw, the title was an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning standards of conduct by persons who are professionally involved with government activities, and therein, a connection therein, prohibiting. There. So you had a clause that explained at least what you believe the purpose of that amendment is. And I think in order for voters to understand what this is, they need to understand there needs to be something there that says this is why we're doing what we are doing, not just the mechanisms of what we're doing. And I think that is crucial for a voter to be informed of what this is all about. Otherwise, it makes no sense.
Well, and I guess one thing I'm suggesting is what we as a board need to stay away from is stating the why. That's more for the arguments behind the proposal. I think the example that you use of Amendment 41, although I can see the point, I think what's different there is there in trying to express what the single subject of the measure was, I think what the board was trying to identify was a unifying theme, which was ethical standards. I don't think the purpose was to try to say what the purpose of the measure was, but simply that it was all in the form of ethical standards dealing with government.
I would say that this falls in that same category, which is you know, why, not so much the, you know, I understand you want to make sure that you're not editorializing about it, but the concept that I believe needs to be put forward is this idea of government as a middleman between two interests, and one of those interests that then turn around and lobbies government. That's the issue here. The prohibition is the mechanism, but what we're getting at is the larger overriding single subject of making sure that government, the apparatus of government, isn't used as a conduit to special interests.
And let me just drill down on that just a little bit. I mean, we are required in the title to clearly express the single subject of the measure, and that's something that we do at the beginning of the titles. We typically say concerning something, and then sometimes we have trailers that say and in connection therewith,
right,
et cetera. This particular draft doesn't really quite follow that model, but I think this draft nevertheless is suggesting that the single subject is a prohibition on public payroll systems taking payroll deductions, et cetera. But it sounds like you may be suggesting that the single subject is something different.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the single subject here is a standard for public payroll systems to make sure that money doesn't go to special interests. It doesn't prohibit any public employee from giving as much money as they wish to any political interest, but government should not be the mechanism by which that happens. Mm-hmm. That's the issue.
Okay. Well, it still sounds to me like that's more of an argument for the measure. I realize there may be a little bit of a gray area there, but I'm afraid if we went down that road, we would be effectively stating an argument for the measure, which, as you know, we have to stay away from.
I understand the, you know, I don't know how you guys manage to write things by committee, so that is an ugly and bizarre process to watch. So, you know, I will step back and let you do your sausage making with that, but for me and as the proponents, that's the overriding issue here.
Okay.
Well, let me interject. I mean, it seems to me there might be a way to go a little bit in the direction the proponent is asking us to go. I think what I've heard so far, probably we couldn't say, I think I've heard you say that the purpose of this or the single subject is to avoid using the government as a middleman between employees and special interests or something like that. And I think that's, stating it that way would be a problem, I think. But it does seem to me that, and I've been the one pushing us away from using the concerning language all the time, but this might be an instance where it is appropriate, that simply inserting the concerning language at the beginning and then in connection therewith prohibiting and then going on from there would get us somewhere. But I am struggling with what we could put in there as concerning stating the single subject in a concise way that doesn't characterize this in a, that's not really an advertisement, but is more just a fair characterization of it, that because the single subject to me is, I mean, it is a little bit different than simply the prohibition. I mean, there is a subject behind this, where I'm struggling is, I mean, I think we all agree it is a single subject. How could we state the single subject a little bit more neutrally without getting, as the staff draft does, immediately into the details of the measure, a more general statement of the single subject. And so I'll ask the proponent, if we were to insert after Constitution in line one the word concerning, can you help us come up with something that's neutral, a neutral explanation of the subject, not really the motivation behind it, but the subject of the measure, and then maybe we could go from there, because I do think there's some room here.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, for me, what it concerns is, and I'm trying to trying to divorce myself from my support to make this, to editorialize on it, but it really concerns putting forward an ethical standard or to end a conflict of interest in payroll systems. That this is, you know, this is concerning an ethical standard in public payroll systems really is why we chose that title, because that's really what this is about. This is about trying to remove, for me, the operative term is special interest, which is this prevents governments from writing checks on behalf of their employees to special interests. And those special interests then turn around and lobby those same governments. How to put that concerning.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. The problem I have with that is the only place I see ethics mentioned is in the purpose behind it. And I don't see special interests dealt with anywhere.
But the
actual operation of it is simply a blanket prohibition, right? Except for these certain required exceptions, which is what the current draft says. And so that's the problem is...
I understand what you're saying.
Section 1 is kind of just a general statement of here's why we're doing this. But what it's really doing, which is, I think, mostly what we're supposed to be saying, the subject of it, to me, is not really... I don't know, I haven't had enough caffeine yet to get into what's an ethical standard yet, but the ethical standard...
It's not caffeine, it's alcohol.
Yeah, well, it's definitely too early for that, a couple hours at least, but...
that's only because you're young.
The issue for me is the subject of it is not really what I consider an ethical standard. It's a just blanket prohibition. And so I'm concerned about putting ethical standard in there for that reason.
In 41, where you put in concerning standards, is what's the difference there than here? You use those terminologies before for a new article to the Constitution.
Well, my,
I understand the board here changes in the wording, you know, so it's not you personally.
No,
it's,
but
as an organization.
My recollection of 41 is that it, in fact, has kind of standards where you're weighing this, or if you've gone beyond a certain limit, there's that sort of standard. This is just a prohibition of deductions. And
Seems to me if there's a prohibition against something, it's prohibiting the use of the governmental infrastructure, in this case of public payroll systems, I'll use my terminology, to funnel money or to be a conduit of money to political entities.
Now we're getting closer to something I could see putting in the title.
Mr. Garden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Caldera, as far as the title to Amendment 41 goes, I think you make a point in pointing that title out, given the text of the measure. And this isn't a cop-out. I wasn't on the title board for that particular title setting, and I don't know why more kind of a generality was used in that title. Perhaps it was because it was necessary to cover the umbrella of things that were under 41. But I think that I agree with Mr. Hobbs and Mr. Domenico as far as your suggestion, although I think, again, it's well taken. I, as far as changing the title, I played a little bit with the language, and I think maybe to say, for example, an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning the establishment of an ethical standard that prohibits a payroll system from taking a payroll deduction from the payroll compensation of any public employee to benefit private organizations and special interests, that might move towards, I think, what you're advocating here, but I think that that is kind of a subjective statement of the purpose of the measure that's contained in the purposes part of the measure, and I agree with you, that is in Section 1. I think that once you start using phrases like ethical standard, you may inch up close to issues involving catchphrases in titles. And I think that the way the title is currently stated in the staff draft does encompass the single subject of the text of the measure, which I think is set forth in Section 3 of the proposed measure. And so at this point, although I appreciate your arguments and understand where you're coming from on this, I would be reluctant to use ethical standard or more of a subjective statement of purpose in the statement of the single subject, and whether or not that could be, as Mr. Domenico, I think, might have suggested, be worked into the trailer, inserting the word concerning, stating the single subject, and then making more of a, you know, addressing the purpose of the measure in the trailer of the single, of the ballot title. We might talk about that, but I think right now I'm inclined to follow the staff draft statement of the single subject.
Mr. Caldera, would it help to, you know, following the usual form of title, say an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning allowable public payroll deductions? I mean, I'm just using the phrase that's the caption for Section 3. And then, you know, and going and saying, and in connection therewith, prohibiting a public payroll system, et cetera, et cetera. And then we could talk, as Mr. Carton was saying, we could talk about the trailers. But would it help to at least have a simple statement of a single subject?
Like I appreciate where you're going with that. My thought on that, just as what you said, is allowable deductions, and then if the meat of this is prohibiting, you know, then it seems to me, I'm just talking off the top of my head, which is the only way I know how to talk, is that it's more about prohibiting deductions that go to political causes. There's something about that, and we've really gone through the list of everything that is a reasonable of what a normal employer is required to by law and also by custom allow an employee to take out. So there's something about, you know, about allowable deductions that's true, but there's still something about, you know, what we are prohibiting are deductions going to organizations that turn around and lobby. You know, if special interest is too much of a catchphrase, I don't know what the more academic term for that would be.
Mr. Domenico?
Well, I think I agree that I wouldn't, using allowable is confusing to me. One simple way would just simply be to do what you suggested without allowable. Concerning public payroll deductions. But you could also, it seems to me, go a little bit beyond that and say something along the lines of concerning public payroll deductions to benefit, or concerning deductions from public payroll benefits maybe the way would be to just say concerning public payroll, a prohibition on deductions from public payroll systems for the benefit of private organizations. And then I think private organizations would probably cover special interests without bordering on a potential catchphrase problem. I think that really is, to me, the subject So I think it's accurate. I don't think that would be a catchphrase problem. I don't know. It wouldn't quite incorporate ethical standard. It wouldn't incorporate special interests in the title, but I don't think those are necessarily part of what I understand to be the subject. So,
would it be worth putting something up and just because I think we're gonna have a hard time figuring all this out.
If we're getting close, we should put it up. But if that's way off base, it may not be worth the trouble.
Well, I'm concerned about trying to characterize basically what's allowed and what's not allowed, and at least along the lines of private. I'm just trying to think this through. I mean, what is allowed is charitable deductions and, deductions for child support. And I mean, there are deductions for private interest there. And I'm just concerned about trying to characterize what constitutes the dividing line.
Well, let me just make a suggestion then, because I think that's a good point about private organizations. It's probably too broad. But what if it simply said concerning a prohibition on deductions from public payroll systems for certain to benefit certain private organizations? And then in connection with therewith prohibiting basically going on with the language we have already. I don't know. That's the best I can come up with that tries to state the single subject in a way that encompasses sort of, I mean, it does seem to me that the current draft doesn't really state the subject in a way. This is not quite the same as some of the other ones where we just jump right in and say an amendment to the Colorado Constitution declaring that peace is possible. This is a little bit more typical.
Did and you actually have that one, by the way?
A few times. And so that, to me, sort of does capture the subject of the measure. It doesn't, to me, problem with it being misleading if it's in there that way. It doesn't, to me, have any catchphrases that way. It certainly doesn't answer all the questions someone reading it might have, but I don't think that that's the role of the single statement of the single subject.
Mr. Carden.
I guess I think that I'm probably going to oppose that, but my question would be whether or not the proponent, how does that language sound to you?
I think it's a step in the right direction. I understand that technically I have no say in this. It's up to you three. But, and I appreciate you thinking about how best to do this. But for me, if we're putting this into a prohibition, then it is concerning deductions or prohibiting deductions from public payroll systems. And in my mind, it's towards political purposes or for conflict of interest purposes or something along those lines. If those were magic words that while I was writing that, if I dotted the issue with those terms, if that would have made it easier, I would have done so. But it didn't seem, we really did want to keep this as clean and short and to the point as possible. As far as the wording, and not do what I think Amendment 41 did, I'm here reading the title for 41, and it does read as an advertisement. I mean, who wouldn't be in favor of pretty much all these things? So
let me make one. How about this then? What if it said the single subject is concerning standards for public payroll deductions? And that's pretty neutral. That is the subject. I mean, standard is a little bit of an awkward word when it's just kind of a blanket prohibition, but I think it is a standard. Again, it doesn't involve the word ethical. It doesn't get into some of these purposes about political purposes or that sort of thing, but that would be a simple statement. Again, I think it's an accurate statement of what I consider to be, I mean, standards is basically a synonym for rule, essentially. This sets rules for deductions from public payroll systems. So if it said concerning rules concerning standards for public payroll deductions, and then gets into the nitty-gritty, that might, I don't know if that helps at all.
Yeah, I think a step, you know, it's not what I'd like, but I, you know, it's a small step in the right direction, I think. And there, for me, there really needs to be something that encapsulizes what this is about. Again, I keep looking at 41, concerning standards of conduct of persons who are professionally involved with government activities, and that is a sweeping and clause, and that pretty much any law or rule would fall under that phrase.
Mr. Carton?
I'll just say just a few words and then I'll be quiet. I think that where I'm at, and I think I'm struggling because I when I sit up here, I do want to be mindful of the proponent's suggestions and the proponent's direction in crafting these titles for the measures. But this one, if it had, and I understand that there's language in the purpose and findings section of the measure, which in my view, from a drafting standpoint, is a statement of legislative intent, is a legislative declaration. It may be used down the road by a court, for example, to interpret the language of the provision. But in my narrow mind, Section 3 contains the guts of the measure. And if Section 3 had language in it, specifically prohibiting deductions for certain political organizations or certain special interest groups, if it affirmatively stated that, I'd be more comfortable in including that in the single subject of the measure. And I understand that may be based on the purposes and findings of the measure and the proponent's testimony, that that's a desired outcome, that that's the intent. But given the text of Section 3, at this point, I'm reluctant to even to kind of, if you, standards, I think is a good try, but in my mind, again, I'm not sure that accurately conveys the single subject of this measure, which I think we can do based on the text of the measure. And I think that what is in the staff draft right now is closer to what I personally feel the single subject of the measure should be than going in a standards or ethical standard or a prohibition on deductions for special interests type of language in the text. And whether or not we could move up towards that in language, if we went ahead and used, I think as Mr. Hobbs suggested, and just did a straight up an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning either allowable payroll deductions or concerning a prohibition on public on payroll deductions, something in connection therewith, with a stated purpose of preventing deductions for channeled to special interests or private organizations, something like that. I might be amenable to that, but where I'm at right now is I prefer that single subject statement of the title remain objective and track the substantive text of the law.
If I went and got you a cup of coffee and a muffin, would you change your mind?
No comment.
I would violate Amendment 41.
It's one expensive muffin.
I partly the expense involved with Mr. Caldera's offer. I agree with Mr. Carton. I actually would like to say to have a statement of a single subject, perhaps, and I think saying standards is close, but I'm just not quite comfortable with it. I don't know that it's wrong. I just think it's kind of a little bit deceptive in that the measure doesn't really set out various standards the way Amendment 41 does. I mean, it's pretty much a prohibition on payroll deductions with some exceptions. And
what about a rule? What about if it said rules? I mean, I do think that's what Section 3 is, a rule governing deductions from public payroll systems. I think that's probably what the best I can come up with is either rule. I don't think standards would be deceptive personally, but if I would think that rule is a little bit more of a kind of including, to the extent it's not a pure synonym, it would be more of the straight prohibition that you're talking about. So simply stating concerning rules, governing rules for something like that, deductions from public payroll systems or something like that would seem to be an accurate statement of the single subject that's about as neutral as you can get and would lead a reader to want to read the next sentence. I mean, the problem is, you know, these titles are supposed to be summaries of the whole thing, and then we're also trying to summarize the title in the single subject statement, and so it's a little difficult when you don't expect people to read past even the first clause in the title before they vote on this thing. But I think something simple like that is accurate. It encompasses the single subject. I don't think it would mislead anyone into thinking they're voting on something other than what they are. It doesn't include some of the purposes that the proponent that are clearly behind this, but I think those purposes are a little bit difficult to pull out of Section 3, which is the action part. And while they're important, they purposes aren't the same as the subject. So that's what I would propose, something along those lines. I didn't hear in Mr. Carton's discussion an objection to that kind of an idea. So maybe we can make some kind of a motion or type something up, and I can make a motion if we're getting close.
I have the same problem with rules as that I have with standards, and I don't mean to say that it's deceptive in the sense that you come to the wrong conclusion. It's just, to me, it suggests that there's multiple things going on, and whether we say standards or rules or principles or guidelines or any of those things, it implies, like an Amendment 41 situation, is where there's going to be a series of rules or something like that. I mean, I would prefer having something that's much simpler, and I've got all kinds of possibilities that I think are fine. But concerning, and I'm using part of what you suggested, Mr. Domenico, I think concerning deductions from public payroll systems, or concerning, and again, I think allowable public payroll deductions is part of the measure, or concerning prohibited public payroll deductions, or concerning limitations on public payroll deductions, or concerning a prohibition on public payroll deductions, or something like that. But I'm just concerned about something that suggests that it doesn't actually, a word that, like rules or standards, it doesn't say very much, and maybe suggests that there's more going on than really is. It's really just a general prohibition with some exceptions, and I personally think it's better to try to keep it simple.
Not saying or not describing what's going on, I understand that, but again, I keep going back to concerning standards of conduct by persons who are professionally involved with governmental activities, and you know, I don't know what that means. You know, that is a huge sweeping thing. If we're talking about allowable payroll deductions, there needs to be, in my mind, there needs to be something there that maybe we need to come at this from a completely different side, which is this is about using governmental resources we'll use my terms, using governmental resources to siphon money from people's paychecks and deliver them to lobbying organizations. I mean, it's using the governmental resources to move money from here to a lobbying organization, a political organization. I mean, that's for me the overriding part of this. And I understand why you're all struggling with this. From your point of view, I respect that completely. But that image of this is what we're trying to stop is so much more important than, you know, all right, we prohibit everything except this. You know, that's got to be part of it somewhere.
Well, and just to sort of clarify, maybe what I was trying to say was, I think the Amendment 41 title, I think it could be criticized as an argument for the measure, but I think in defense of it, there are multiple standards of conduct, and that was the difficulty in stating a single subject. And so I was on the board, I was more comfortable with something that said standards, because there really are multiple standards of conduct there. Here, I just don't see standards or rules I suggested limitations. That's probably wrong, too. There's basically one limitation. So I'm just trying to say there's one thing going on here, and I appreciate.
If there was something more along the lines of prohibiting governmental resources from, does that work any better for you?
No, well, and just because the measure doesn't say that.
I mean, here's the... That would be akin, and I was on the board for Amendment 41 too, and actually voted against both the measure and the title because I thought it was more than one subject. But I think that's why the general, very general language was in there, was because there were so many things going on, so many standards. But I think if you asked the people promoting Amendment 41, their purpose was something along the lines of prohibiting lobbyists from taking government employees out to lunch and using their excessive financial resources to skew the democratic process. That's not what the title says. I agree with you that the title is kind of very general and in some sense meaningless. It's not a characterization of what they really are trying to get at, which is what you were just saying, what you're trying to get at.
Yeah, in the same way, I would say the proponents, our thought is to prohibit, again, use my terms, prohibit special interests from using the mechanisms of government for funding.
Exactly. You know, had come in and said, if the Amendment 41 people had said, well, we want the single subject to say what I just said, we would have rejected that. And so that's kind of just all I'm saying of why kind of the motivation or what you're really at the heart of your reasoning behind this is not really the single subject, it's the motivation behind it and what you're trying to prohibit, I understand. But the subject, I mean, if it's really what about just a rule governing or a standard? If it's really the fact that there's only one sort of prohibition here as opposed to 41. If you just said a standard governing deductions from public payroll.
Well, I hate to be stubborn about this, but then it doesn't tell us anything. Why not just leave that word out? Why do we need to say standard?
An amendment concerning an amendment governing deductions from public payroll systems. That's not bad.
I mean, and I'm fine with that. I know it doesn't achieve what Mr. Caldera is seeking, but I think that's a neutral statement of the single subject. And a concise one that clearly identifies what the measure is about. And I, like I say, I'm just, you know, words like standards and rules and things like that don't add much, I don't think, because they don't really tell you much. Anyway, Mr. Carton.
I agree. Is it appropriate to go ahead and tee that up?
Sure, let's try. I think what I just said was, in line one, it would read, an amendment to the Colorado Constitution governing deductions from public payroll systems. Public payroll systems, comma, and then I guess we would go with and in connection therewith.
The and connection therewith is really big with you guys. I don't know if you've noticed this.
We've noticed.
I like that, although I prefer to go all the way and instead of saying governing, say concerning. Would that be okay, Mr. Domenico?
That's fine. Either one's fine with me.
If we're back to the...
As
substitute concerning for governing?
Yeah. I mean, I like that.
Isn't therewith usually one word in our jargon?
If Eubanks were here.
Yeah. I think that's fine. I mean, I certainly understand why the proponents would like it to say more than that. And I'd be willing to say a little bit more, but... in the interest of actually getting something that we could all agree on, I would move that we make that change.
I'll second that. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. And again, if there's anybody else who wishes to testify on the staff drafts, let me know, but I don't think that I have anybody else present. Are there other suggested changes to the staff draft? Mr. Carton?
Just for the board's consideration, kind of consistent with Mr. Caldera's comments, if it read prohibiting a public payroll system from taking a payroll deduction from the payroll compensation of any public employee, I'm just suggesting this for discussion purposes, and then you put a comma there, and after that, on line four, you said specifying, and again, I'm not sure this works or not, but I'm gonna put this out there, specifying that public payroll systems should not be utilized to benefit private organizations and special interests, comma, and then and accepting deductions required by federal law, tax withholdings, etc. So it would add another clause that inserted the statement of the purpose in the trailer.
I appreciate you bringing that up. I know that's an effort to try to consider ways to accommodate Mr. Caldera's concerns, and I just have problems with doing that because I think the precedent that we've generally tried to avoid is, but the precedent that would be set here is, I think, for those measures that have legislative declarations, and I think they're fairly common, we would find ourselves being asked to incorporate language from legislative declarations, which are really arguments or statements of principle behind a measure and so forth, and I'm just concerned about that.
Well, I withdraw that suggestion.
I guess one thing I wanted to raise, a technical thing, in what is now line four, the end of line four, I wanted to consider striking the phrase authorized by federal law. Wait a second, maybe I don't. Oh, yes, I do. Because that seems to imply that all of the exceptions are things authorized by federal law, and I don't know, that maybe they are, but it's not in the measure. It seems to me that if we just simply drop that phrase and just said except for specified deductions, including deductions required by federal law, et cetera, then I think we've covered it.
I'll second that. I would also run by... Yeah, I mean, I think that's both redundant and potentially confusing the way it is now. I would suggest we could get rid of the phrase that was in line, I guess it's still in line three, but was in line two, from the payroll compensation, or I guess it would be removing the payroll compensation of. I mean, I know that's in there and probably for a reason in the measure, but I don't know what it adds, and it just sort of makes it harder to read saying payroll six times in one phrase. I mean, I would just get rid of it in the interest of readability. I don't think it adds anything to the title. I don't know how you take any other kind of payroll deduction.
Mr. Garden?
I think that's a good change, Mr. Domenico, and Mr. Hobbs, to yours. I think you could probably and still remain true to the text of the measure on line four. If you struck everything after except, and you struck including on line five, I think that tracks. It takes out a couple more words, but it removes further redundancy, I think, and you get rid of
good
using debt deductions twice. And the text of the measure does talk about federal deductions only, so it makes the deductions specific to. Mm-hmm. But I agree with Mr. Domenico. I think that's a good improvement, and I would just put that out.
And I'm fine with that. So if we strike what Ceci has highlighted and strike, as Mr. Domenico suggested, line three, beginning with, I think, from the phrase from the payroll compensation of, is that correct?
I think you need to leave probably from there.
Okay. Yeah.
And of also to
leave? No, to get rid of there.
So that it would read prohibiting a public payroll system from taking a payroll deduction from any public employee except deductions required by federal law, et cetera.
Do we get to start talking about commas and semicolons now?
Only if you want to.
I want to.
I'd like to.
I think they're reversed in this. I think we've got them backwards.
Yeah, I think in this case, we could go to commas.
Yeah, I think so.
So maybe change those semicolons to commas. Mr. Caldera, are you okay with these changes?
Yeah, I have one suggestion before as well. What you have there, going back to the concerning line, concerning deductions from public payroll systems, writing this for folks who might not understand exactly every terminology, public payroll systems might be confusing, and it might seem to indicate that this would affect private employers as well. If there's some sort of question of, you know, well, I'm part of the public, does this affect my payroll system? I would suggest changing public payroll systems to governmental payroll systems. I think that would be more clear for anyone who's uninitiated to know exactly what we're talking about.
I think you're right. I actually was intending to ask about that. I know that's not the phrase used in the measure, but I think from the definitions, I think it's clear that we're dealing with government payroll systems. And I think it is more informative to... I have the same concern that people, members of the public would think exactly. This applies to them. So I'm okay
fine with that.
At least concerning deductions from governmental...
I would say governmental payroll systems.
Either government or governmental, but I'm okay with governmental. Okay.
And did you want me to change all the semicolons?
I think so. We're doing a bunch of things here together without the motion yet.
I'm going to want to see it without the markup and make sure there might be one, but yeah. One more. On line 7.
So for the record, maybe get this out of the way, with the changes that are now on the table, the title would read, An Amendment to the Colorado Constitution Concerning Deductions from Governmental Payroll Systems, comma, and in connection therewith, comma, prohibiting a public payroll system from taking a payroll deduction from any public employee except deductions required by federal law, comma, tax withholdings, comma, judicial liens and garnishments, comma, deductions for individual or group health benefits or other insurance, comma, deductions for pension or retirement plans or systems, comma, or other savings or investment programs, comma, and charitable deductions. And I wonder if that comma at the end of line 6 should be removed. Is that...
Mm-hmm.
Tracks the text.
Takes the text, but it kind of, now I can see why maybe the drafter put in semicolons.
Yeah, but if you were going to put in semicolons, they'd be different from where they were originally. I think you'd have one after garnishments, one after insurance on line 6, and then one after where the comma on line 7 is, after programs is where you'd have semicolons, I think, because there's kind of three groups of types of deductions. I think either way that comma should go on line 6. Because within that clause, there's only two groups that or separates. It's not part of a serial. I'm okay with it this way. I could also put semicolons in place of the commas in those places where I stated on line 5, 6, and 7. After garnishments, after insurance, and after programs, people think it's clearer that way, but I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, I think it's okay the way it is. I don't know.
I do too.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and move those changes then. Is there a second?
I'll second those changes.
Any further discussion?
Is there room for other changes after that?
Yes. If there's no other discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Other changes, Mr. Caldera?
For the same reason we changed governmental from public to governmental on line 2, I might suggest towards the end of line 3, from any public employee, for the exact same reason. If you say for any government employee, it might clarify anybody who's has a confusion with that term. I have no problem with public payroll system also at the beginning of line three, but to be consistent and to reduce any confusion that someone might have, you know, am I a member, am I a public employee? I'm a member of the public. Any government employee, I think, would be less confusing. I doubt that could be confusing.
I actually would suggest that the word that should be changed is the one in line two, and we could just get rid of that. It could just say prohibiting a governmental payroll system from taking a payroll deduction from any employee. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I would be happy. I think actually the one on line two should probably be changed if we're changing the first one on line two. The last one should probably be changed. And then we could either just get rid of public there or put governmental in there too.
I agree with that. It's just so changing the end of line two, public to governmental.
Governmental.
And I'm okay with leaving public employee in that context. I think it's okay. I don't know. I don't have any strong feelings about it. But I think in that context, we know that we're talking about public employees.
I don't know if you need public there any longer if you do that.
I would think we should probably get rid of it or put in governmental just to avoid switching around and actually causing some question. I would
my preference would be to put in governmental there just for consistency.
I think mine would too.
Clarity.
Just on the, it seems a little clearer, more consistent, avoids the possibility that someone could misunderstand that there's a government payroll system that can take money from other people's. I mean, I don't know, the IRS works pretty close to that. Someone could misinterpret and think that there's a governmental payroll system somehow behind all this. Mm-hmm. So I would say from a governmental employee would probably be a good change.
And I'm supportive of that, and as long if that's what the proponent wants to do, then
okay. I'll move that we change basically the two uses of public to governmental. They're on line three, now line four.
I'll second that.
Well, that might be better as government for whatever reason. It just looks better to me. So
okay. It's moved and seconded. Now, are we okay with one use of the term government and the others are governmental? Okay.
Yeah.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Any further suggested changes to the titles?
If I can make one last pleading case, get on my knees and beg this tough court, that I really do believe that somewhere in there needs to be some type of mention of the purpose behind this. That the idea is, even if this is towards the end of reducing the use of governmental systems to benefit groups seeking to influence the government. I mean, something along those lines. I think that's, in my mind, very critical to this, to make sure that people understand this is not just about deductions, but this is to stop using government or using governmental systems to benefit other groups. Now, not to necessarily, every deduction we have here is, every allowable deduction are deductions either by law or for individual employee benefit, you know, your savings account, your lien, your child support, your charitable deduction. But this, but what we're trying to do is reduce the use of government writing checks to groups or to benefit groups that are seeking to influence government. And for me, that's a big difference. What is allowable deductions are deductions to benefit the individual employee, not the individual employee's political cause. That, for me, is a large part of this. And I would really implore the board to find some way to make that clear. You know, these deductions that are allowed are allowable deductions for individual benefit, and we are stopping the government from funneling money to groups seeking to influence political institutions. And the best way of doing that, we believe, is to make these prohibit these deductions. Matter of fact, that's the only way we can think of doing it.
Well, I think I'm, you know, I appreciate that. I think I'm still opposed to it. I just think it's, you know, for the reasons that I think I've already described, and I'm just
coffee
not
and muffins,
and I'm taking that into consideration. But I'm just not sure that we can even make that characterization accurately. I know that there's just a general prohibition on all payroll deductions with some specified exceptions, but I don't know how we can characterize them, even if we could avoid stating an argument for the measure or whatever.
I know most voters don't read the Blue Book. They don't, you know, this. For many voters, what they read is what you write here, and this is, especially on a packed election year, where they'll be bombarded with presidential campaigns and senatorial campaign and everything else. You know, what you folks write here might be the extent to which people understand what this issue is. And what we have here, while accurate, it seems very, very clerical, and not at all talking about, you know, what it's attempting to do, what it's meant to do, why it's being pushed. So I strongly feel I would like to see something in there that talks about trying to limit the use of governmental systems for political influence.
Mm-hmm. Frankly, one last comment, I guess, that I think there really is an advantage potentially for proponents leaving it is that I feel like we would be injecting grounds for overturning the title. I know it sounds like you're willing to take that risk, but I just feel like under the case law, that's just outside the bounds of what we can do. That's my opinion. But.
Yeah, I mean, as I've said, I'd be willing to go a little bit in that direction, and I think actually the title would be improved by putting something about a limitation or a standard in the statement of the single subject, but I do think this is accurate and not misleading, if not all that helpful. The single subject statement is not particularly helpful. I'm not willing to go much further than simply saying concerning a limitation on deductions or something like that. For the reasons Mr. Hobbs has said, I think we'd be on very thin ice with the Supreme Court if we started getting into the purposes behind it. But I do think the limitation language would be helpful, although I'm willing to vote for this, as I already have. So.
Are there any other motions or suggested changes? Is there a motion to adopt the staff draft as amended?
Move to adopt the staff draft as amended.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Just for the record, I won't read the entire, I'll read up to the exception because I think the rest of it I've already read into the record, but as amended now, the first part of the title would read, an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning deductions from governmental payroll systems, comma, and in connection therewith, comma, prohibiting a governmental payroll system from taking a payroll deduction from any government employee, and then except, et cetera. And the same changes would be made in the ballot title and submission clause. It's just the same, but in the form of a question. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0, and that concludes action on number 53. The time is 10:15. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're all bad and evil people.
Uncaffeinated and unmuffined.
Uncaffeinated and unappreciated. I understand.